What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Catching Heaters. I'm your host, Matt, and as always, I am excited to be here with you today. I have an exciting episode for you. Today, I wanted to do an episode on prospecting and kind of give some advice and tips on how I look at prospecting, whether it is in the fantasy world of sports or within card collecting. I've been heavy into prospects mainly with fantasy sports over the past 8 years, but recently getting into cards, I can see how both of the two can kind of mesh and blend together. So I wanted to dive in a little bit today and go into areas of opportunity. Mainly, how can we find, you know, quality prospects outside of the top 100, or, you know, even on the verge of the top 50 that are have opportunities to move up the board, move up the rankings into that top 25, top 10 status. So what am I looking for? How can I find value, and kind of what tools am I using to find these players to improve, one, my fantasy team? You know, if you're in a dynasty league or a keeper league, how can I find these quality players that can make an impact? Or how can I find players that, you know, might be slightly known in the card industry, but not at that upper echelon level of the top 10 players, prospects in the league? So first off, I wanted to explain a little bit of my experience in the kind of league I'm in. I kind of have briefly gone over it in previous episodes, but how I got into following prospects is I got into a dynasty league, a national league only keeper league. And this is a league that was started by my dad and his buddies over 25 years ago. And they've been consistently keeping this league going for years and years. And recently there became a spot open. And I've always been heavy into fantasy baseball and sports. And with that, my dad knew that I would be a good addition to the league. And this was about 8 years ago that I joined the National League Only Keeper League. And first off the bat, I realized that I had a lot of knowledge of major league players, but when you're in a league like this, a lot of it has to do mainly with prospects and building your team around, you know, your own lower level players that are going to grow to be on your team. So I had to quickly find tools to be able to help me, you know, find those players that are going to help me win a championship at the end of the day and provide value to my team. The way that the league works is it is an auction style league. So we do a live draft every single year, which is probably one of my favorite things of the year to do. We all get together at a sub shop, and you have a certain amount of salary that you go into the draft with. And so the way that the prospects works is we have guidelines to when they become major league eligible. They have to have 350 major league at bats, or they for pitchers, they have to have a certain amount of appearances or innings pitched for them to start their contracts. Once they become a major league player, you can only own a player for 2 years at a time. If they haven't hit those levels, then they don't cost you anything to your salary cap. So finding value in players that are on the verge of the major leagues is very important in this league, because you can roster your team to be able to draft some of those top tier guys with higher price points. And if you can blend them with some nice players that are coming up from the minor leagues, then you really have a team that you can build around. So that's a little bit of about the league. So that's how I really got interested in prospecting and into the minor leagues and following that. The two main things, tools that I use, I'm heavy on Baseball America. I always get the prospect handbooks. I am always on the website. I follow when the minor league season is going on. I'm checking the minor league stats daily throughout the year to kind of see who's heating up, who is having a great year, who's improving their skill sets. So following that allows me to, one, I love it. I really enjoy baseball as a whole. So adding another dimension to fantasy baseball and that aspect of it, I've really enjoyed. And now getting into cards, I've really noticed how, you know, this knowledge can help me in the card market when it comes to prospects and baseball players. So I wanted to give some advice on one, you know, when I'm going through all these things and I'm looking at minor league players, how am I trying to find value? What am I looking for? And I have like 5-6 things that I wanted to touch on. And just briefly, if you're new to it, if you're in dynasty leagues, I'm sure you probably do some of these things and keep them in mind. But if you're new to collecting cards and prospects, or if you're interested in getting into dynasty leagues and things of that nature, these are some of the things you would want to look at when you're diving into prospects. So the first thing that it took me a little bit of time to understand my first year or two, and you kind of have to wrap your head around it because you get so excited when you start seeing these top echelon prospects and you get all excited and you want to have them on your team, whether it's through a trade or I'm sure if you're wanting to buy cards and the hype is there, you have to realize that no matter how much prospects are hyped up, and this is my first piece of advice, is no matter how much prospects are hyped up, at the end of the day, they are still prospects. Until they show their skill sets in the major leagues, no matter how well they perform in the minor leagues, at the end of the day, they are still a prospect and they haven't proven themselves at the major league level. No matter how much you want to invest in them in the card market, no matter how much you want to invest, you know, whether it's through a trade in fantasy baseball, you sometimes are going to miss. You sometimes will hit on certain things, but you have to kind of not go overboard, especially in the fantasy realm. I'm sure in cards as well, you don't want to go too crazy buying up a bunch of different prospects, because a lot of the times these players, even if they're in the top 25, they might not pan out in the major leagues. So wrapping my head around that when you're first getting into it, you know, a prospect, at the end of the day, he's still a prospect. He doesn't have any major league status. So going in, that is something that you always want to keep in the back of your mind. And there's ways to, you know, shield yourself a little bit from that. And that's some of the things I'm going to go into, is when you're looking at players, how can you safely get into a guy that you think is going to at least hold value in some form of the fashion. But you just have to know that when you're prospecting, it's a shaky game. I mean, a lot of players don't pan out, especially pitching, you know, with the injuries and everything that happens. Hitters, you know, more or less, if they have a good trajectory, they have a way of panning out. But at the end of the day, sometimes players just don't click at the major league level. And you just got to realize that's kind of what goes into it. All right. So my second tip, you know, when I'm looking at players, and how when I dive into these prospect handbooks and I'm looking for guys that I think have a chance of jumping into the top 100 or top 50. Now, of course, you know, when players get drafted or there are certain guys that are in the top 25, top 50, those guys are pretty well known. And if you're into prospecting, whether it's in cards or baseball, most of the people in your league are going to know of these guys, of the top 50, top 100. But how can you hone in on guys that are outside of it? Well, I like to focus on, especially in fantasy baseball, because I want guys that are close to the major leagues, and I want guys that have an opportunity in the next year or two to make a big jump. So when I'm looking at that, my next tip is to look at guys at double A or higher. And I know it's hard to not get into guys early when they're in low A or they're coming over internationally from the Dominican. And by all means, if they're a top 100 player already, get involved in them. But if you're trying to find sneaky guys, I always look at double A players and how they're performing. The reason why, and I'm sure if you're into prospecting, you realize this, that double A is kind of that next tier before you get to the major leagues to prove that you are honing in on your skills and you're going to own those skills against higher level players. Because when you're in low A, high A, you're still, the pitching that you're going against and the hitting you're going against are still, you know, high school players, high school pitchers, college players that aren't panning out. But once you get to that upper tier of AA, AAA, you're really starting to see pitching of guys that have honed their skills, whether it's at the major leagues at one point and coming back down, or college players that have jumped quickly through the ranks and already have some of those higher skills accumulated. So AA and higher is kind of where I focus on. Now, if there's a hype of a player and you want to get him the year before he gets to AA, obviously you want to hop in early, and there's certain players that you can see rising. But you want to look at AA players and higher. That's really where you can see if they're going to hold the skills that, you know, the prospect, the grading that they're showing on the skills, if those skills are going to come to fruition, is at AA, AAA before they hit the majors. And then the next point that I wanted to make is that kind of correlates into that is how quickly are they moving through the systems and what their age is during that time. Because if you're looking at AA players and a guy is getting hot all of a sudden this year, but he's 27 years old, then, you know, they might not hold him in high regards within the system, and he might just be having one off year of getting hot. When you're talking about age, if a player is moving quickly through, you know, if he jumps low A, high A in 1 year, and then he goes, starts off at high A, goes to double A, and then gets a taste of triple A in his next year, and he's only 21, 22, then that's the guy you want to really hone in on, not the 27-year-old. So keep an eye on age, how quickly the player is moving through the system. If he's struggling at high A for a year, then he goes, or he's struggling at low A, then he goes to high A and struggles at high A, and then he's at high A for a year and a half, and he goes to double A, he kind of struggles at double A, and then he finally kind of clicks a little bit at double A, and he starts to get up in his age groups, and then all of a sudden it clicks and he has a good year, but he's 26, 27. You know, there are guys that can pop like that. Like Donaldson had a great end of his, you know, towards his career, and he's having a great great career now that he's got in the league. But that's the one-off guy. A lot of the times those older players aren't going to really pan out in the majors because they've struggled throughout their career in the minors. So that's tip number two. You know, how quickly are they moving? What's their age? Or that's tip number three, I'm sorry. The next thing to keep an eye on when you're looking at skill sets, do they have a defensive position already in place? A lot of times players come up and, you know, they are going to get shuffled around depending on their defensive acumen. And a lot of times if you're honing in, especially in fantasy baseball, if you're looking at players that can contribute to your team, players will ascend quickly if they're an elite defender. And one guy that I wanted to give you an example on that on, who has ascended quickly, and he's in the top 25, and it's Christian Pasci. Now, he didn't have like elite hitting skills coming up, but as a center fielder, he is an elite defender with a really plus arm, you know, really young, and he's one of those players that's ascended quickly through the Braves organization. And that kind of shows to his defensive abilities. And another player I thought about, you know, a couple years back was Addison Russell. He was with the A's and he got traded to the Cubs. He wasn't a top tier hitter, but as a shortstop, if you're playing a premium position and you're an elite defender, you're going to ascend and they're going to get you into on the field and in the lineup if you can benefit the team and roster in a good way defensively. So see if the player has a defensive position. Does he have elite skills on defense? If he does, he has a chance to move quickly, especially if he starts to build on some of the hitting skills that they have and can improve with that. Teams are going to find positions and places on the field for players that can impact defensively. All right, couple last things here. You want to definitely check, you know, the organization and what their current needs are. When you're looking at the prospect book, a lot of times, you know, the teams will give their top 25 players. They'll have the number 1 through 10 rankings. Sometimes organizations who are higher, you know, have higher talent levels in the top five of their whole organization, you want to dig deeper into those players outside of the top 10, because a player from 5 to 10 could ultimately be a number one prospect on another organization. So see what the needs are of the organization. If you're getting into it, as you kind of grow and expand, you want to start looking at contracts as well. You know, when is someone's contract up at the major league level? What's the time frame for a prospect who they have highly touted in the organization? So keep those things in mind. And the last two here, kind of knowing what skills to look for, and that kind of goes into the defensive side of things. So knowing that on the hitting tool side, you want to have multiple grades of quality levels, not just a straight power guy, because if you get someone who is only power but their hit tool is low and they're expanding the zone, but they have the potential of hitting, you know, a 70 or an 80, a lot of times power is not enough to just get someone strictly to the major leagues and hold in the major leagues. You're looking at a guy like guys that were hyped up that couldn't quite get there. You're looking at like an AJ Reed with the Astros a couple years ago. I wasn't in the card market at that time, but I can imagine him being a number one prospect in the Astros organization with the amount of power he had. I'm sure there was a hype level going on with him within the card industry. I know there definitely was in the fantasy realm. And he was a guy that was getting traded, and a lot of people were hopeful that everything would click because of the immense power that he had, and he just didn't pan out. So those are the type of examples of, you know, at the end of the day, a prospect is still a prospect, because you could have all the ability, but if it doesn't click at the major league level, same thing with kind of two other guys I wanted to mention with that are Lewis Brinson, really hyped up guy with the Brewers with that trade, and then obviously going over to the Marlins. You know, interesting guy. He still has a little bit of a leash there with the Marlins, but if things don't click this year, he was a highly touted guy. I wasn't into the prospecting card side of things, but I'm sure there was some chatter about him going on in the market. I know there definitely was in fantasy baseball as well, kind of like AJ Reed. And he's not living up to that full potential. And then on the pitching side, from my favorite team, the Cardinals, you're looking at a guy, Alex Reyes, who, holy crap, the guy has the potential to be, you know, an ace. And I've been looking forward for this guy to be healthy for 1 year in his life and his career to kind of help out our rotation and take us to the next level, but he can't put it together. So at the end of the day, they are just prospects. And until everything clicks at the major league level, the last little tidbit I'll give you is when I'm looking at prospects, I mainly focus on the position players. I do, you know, if there's a couple pitchers that stick out to me, I will hone in on them as well. Like when I was first coming into league, I'm a big Julio Urias fan. I think this is his year to kind of blow up now that he's fully healthy and they're going to let him loose. So really high on Julio Urias. But when I'm talking about digging deeper at the lower levels, double A and stuff, I really try to hone in on the position players, especially when I'm talking fantasy baseball. Reason being, I think when you're drafting with a salary and things of that nature, the pitching can be had for a little bit lower price in auction style. That's just from what I've seen in my personal league. I don't know how it is if you're playing in a both AL and NL keeper style league. I'm sure some of those top tier pitchers are going to go for higher values. But I think that a lot of the mid-range guys can carry you and help, you know, bolster your team. I've seen, for me in dynasty leagues, if you can get a couple upper echelon bats mixed in with the blend of everything else, that you're really going to be in a good position to win your championship. Last year, I made a big trade at the end of the year to I ended up winning my championship because of it. And holding on, and it goes back to this initial point of, at the end of the day, prospects are prospects, especially when it's fantasy baseball, because you have to be willing to make trades or deals to put yourself in a position to win. And I ended up trading the guy I was talking about yesterday, Dylan Carlson. I was so high on him. I had him on my team for, you know, multiple years. I've been watching him. And now he's starting to get to the majors, so that's why I'm talking about him as far as card investments. But I traded him and a couple other solid, cheap guys. I think Winker was in there, who's a cheap player in our league, and a couple other prospects like Miles Straw and another guy. And I got Cody Bellinger onto my team, as well as another top bat that I got. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I got two top-tier bats back for some prospects, and that ended up catapulting me to win my championship. But yeah, a lot of those things that I pointed out today as far as advice, you know, you have to do your own research, and you have to pick a style that you like according to your league. So figure out what model is going to work best for you, whether it's your fantasy league or when you're looking at cards in general for prospects. This is one of the areas that I'm trying to hone in on, and it's a thing that I have knowledge on as far as prospecting. I really wish they'd be playing a minor league season this year, because I'd be able to give you a lot of more insight on content from a day-to-day stats and who's kind of moving through the systems quickly, who's having a great year. So I'm a little disappointed that they're not going to have a minor league season, but I think in the future, talking prospects is something that I'm going to be able to provide good information for you guys, allowing me to kind of do that digging and research for you and put out good content that you guys want to listen to. So I hope this was useful information. If you've never been on Baseball America or got the Prospect Handbook, if you're interested, I definitely recommend it. It's a lot of information, but it's very cool to check out. I also go into baseballheadquarters.com, and the other book that I buy is the Ron Handler's book that I've talked about in previous episodes, The Baseball Forecaster. So if you want to dig deeper into analytics and prospecting, go check those things out. Again, guys, I hope this was useful. Go check me out on Instagram at Catching Heaters. Go check me out on TikTok at Catching Heaters. I'm going to be putting out a couple more things this week. I am traveling, so this weekend I might not have as much content coming out, but I'll be able to make sure this upcoming week I put out some good stuff. Have a great rest of your week. I hope you enjoyed. Please give me a 5-star rating. Give me some comments. I'd appreciate that. Happy hunting. Happy prospecting. Have a great rest of your week, guys.